This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Benita Patel. Benita is the Vice President of Pharmacy Services at Memorial Hermann Healthcare System. She's going to talk to us about sort of the evolving world of pharmacy, whether systems can control pharmacy costs, top priorities, advice for pharmacists, and more. Benita, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. So thank you, Scott. I'm Benita. I oversee pharmacy services at Memorial Hermann Health System. Memorial Hermann is a 15-hospital system located in the Houston metro area of Texas. 10 of our hospitals are indigent care, which means we qualify for the 340B program. We not only have acute care pharmacy services, but we've also extended our pharmacy services into the ambulatory setting. We have a state-of-the-art specialty pharmacy, along with two outpatient retail pharmacies and a home infusion services. Prior to my work at Memorial Hermann, I did some consulting work with AmerisourceBergen, and prior to that, I was with Frater at the Medical College of Wisconsin doing similar things in terms of pharmacy services, but with the director of pharmacy services over ambulatory at Frater at the Medical College. I'm a Georgia Bulldog by undergrad, a Carolina Tar Heel by pharmacy school, and an Ohio State Buckeye by residency, my master's in pharmacy administration. So, Scott, that's a little bit about me.
So before we get into the serious discussions of the day, three quick questions. Is an Ohio State grad, have you learned to hate Michigan? Is a Tar Heel, have you learned to hate Duke? And as a Georgia alumni, do you dislike Georgia Tech?
Yes, and very much so, yes. So, big schools, it's hard not to have huge rivalries. But Georgia also has its Florida rivalry, which is, you know, the largest cocktail party of the year in Jacksonville when we play Florida.
Fantastic. And Herschel Walker is one of the great Georgia Bulldogs of all time and great, great football to watch for a long time.
Yes.
So let me ask you a couple questions. Pharmacy costs, controlling pharmacy costs, one of the things we constantly hear from, you know, leaders of health systems is that pharmacy costs are very hard to control. You know, in many systems, they might make up 10-15% of the budget and rising 10% a year. And it seems like, what can leaders do to control pharmacy costs?
You know, I think the one thing that we have done well as is utilizing our purchasing power. We've combined all 15 hospitals under one account, which has given us a better cost of goods savings in terms of drug supplies, but it's also allowed us to standardize our processes. So that means there's not a lot of variability among the types of drugs that we're purchasing and what we're providing to our patients.
And the cost in pharmacy, is a lot of it in just the inability to get generics when you need the generics, or is a lot of the cost in fighting rare disease and oncology drugs and so forth?
Where are the
bigger pockets of cost?
Well, the bigger costs are obviously, I mean, oncology is our largest expense when we look at our drug budget. And that's because a lot of the drugs are novel drugs. And now those novel drugs even have biosimilars attached to them, which is forcing us to have oftentimes two products on our shelf, where originally we only had the novel drug or the brand drug. So that's one. The other one, it's not necessarily accessing generics per se, but it's the supply of generics oftentimes varies. And so Memorial Hermann actually has joined Civica. And Civica is a not-for-profit organization composed of 20 hospitals that really are starting to make their own drugs, and then we buy through that channel as well. So there's a lot of variabilities that are going into the rising cost of drugs. Unfortunately, it's not just one aspect of pharmacy supply chain. It's just several aspects that we're having to deal with on a day-in and day-out basis. But in terms of that, going back to controlling costs, the one thing that, you know, it's easy to look at our drug budget and say, wow, it's easy to slash drugs, but you got to give drugs to patients in order for them to survive and be at their best, right? And the other thing is the pharmacists, right? The pharmacists are our drug agents. And if we don't have those and we're not supported to grow pharmacists within health systems, then that drug budget is going to continue to grow.
Well, and I think your point is well taken. I think most of us agree very little that's more important than the continued development of great pharmaceuticals. They're just life-changing and life-solving and life-continuing for so many things, so important. It's just trying to also deal with, without demonizing the pharmaceutical companies and the biotech companies, because they're so important to our health system and to our health. It's trying to also figure out, are there any ways to sort of control the cost of the whole system? And so your point is well taken, to always remind us, look, the pharmaceuticals and the pharmacists are so important to everything that we do. And I love that reminder. And a next question for you, Benita. When you look at your role today as Vice President of Pharmacy, what are the three big priorities in the role today? How do you ferret that out between making sure the right things are delivered versus costs are controlled versus making sure we got the right pharmacist in place? What are the three big priorities today?
You know, as I looked back at this question, it's about, especially in my role continues to be of messaging the value of pharmacy. You know, I'm not in the day-to-day tactical, but that messaging of how important our service line is to the health system is my number one priority for myself at my level. I would say the other two priorities are obviously cost containment, but pharmacy is also a business. So we're a little bit different than a supply chain, right? Supply chain is really just product. We're not only a product, but we're also a clinical service. And so making sure that the clinical services are meeting the organization's goals and they're supporting that. So that way, when crunch time comes, the pharmacists are proven to be a value add to an organization. And then I would say the third opportunity is around, since pharmacy is a business, how do we continue to grow our business aside from the acute care side? And that's predominantly in the ambulatory setting, and that's where pharmacy is now headed. So I would say those are my three bigs. It's making sure that our value, or that I message appropriately, the value is being demonstrated by achieving our goals of the organization, and that there's a revenue generation in the ambulatory setting that pharmacy needs to be a part of and take advantage of.
What piece of the pharmacy cost is offset by revenues where it's a reimbursable business versus just a cost on the acute care side? Is there a sense of what those proportions are?
And I think specialty pharmacy is the number one, right? So we know more and more patients are going to be put on specialty medications in the outpatient setting. How do we capture that revenue and keep that revenue within the system, knowing that our physicians are writing those prescriptions, right? So why not try to keep that prescription within our own four walls? Also, home infusion services. More and more patients are getting pushed out. Payers are wanting patients out of the hospital. How do we then leverage our home infusion services, again, to keep the patient within our four walls and then to get reimbursed for those services as well?
Thank you. And then another question for you, Benita. You've had this great career coming out of pharmacy. What advice do you have for emerging professionals in the pharmacy area? I mean, because the pharmacists today are such a great mix of what you see at the corner drugstore versus what you see at huge systems. I mean, it's such a fascinating mix of people working for specialty pharma companies. I mean, such a fascinating mix of careers for pharmacists, it seems like. A couple of your thoughts on what advice you would have for emerging professionals.
So as a program director of the administrative pharmacy program here at Memorial Hermann, here's what I tell my residents. Your first job is not always going to be your only job. It's not going to be your last job. So take a job that you are able to learn a lot, you know, and not just a lot in one area, a lot in a few different areas. So I would say diversify your skill set, because pharmacists have a role in a lot of different areas that people wouldn't necessarily think that pharmacists have a role. And I'll give you an example. So we have put pharmacists in the community setting to help indigent care patient population get access to their medications and afford their medications. Very much a non-traditional role, but a role that a pharmacist is playing and is able to show value. So that's the one thing I would tell emerging professionals. The other thing I would say to that professional is create your own role, because there's so much in the health system that is not taken care of for the patient. How can you embed yourself into situations to create your own? Because now as we continue to grow a health system, there's more and more opportunities that are not just the traditional opportunities.
Thank you very much. Benita, it's a great pleasure to visit with you today. What a fascinating career you've built, and what a great role you have today. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you, Scott.